Would you find with me Romans chapter 15 today? One of my daily prayers is the following, and I lift this up before the Lord every day. Lord, anytime, anywhere. Now, haven't you oftentimes, maybe often, wondered about how God works when it comes to your plans? When it comes to God's will, when it comes to your will? I would think it would be a normal thing for us to consider these matters. And certainly God wants us to make good choices. But what about common sense? The Bible tells us that there's no condemnation to them which are... There's no condemnation taking you, but such as is common to man. Well, temptation is not only common, but the matter of my plan and God's plan is also a common theme that runs through your life and my life. One man put it like this: there are many times when God messes up my life plan. Doesn't fit with any of you? God has never messed up your life plan? Well, this is what Mr. Elgrick says. He says, the good thing. So I titled today's message, His Plan, My Plan. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you, Father, that it is true. Thank you, Father, for giving us your spirit. Thank you, Father, for helping us to understand some of these words, some of these verses, some of these chapters, some of these ideas, Lord, by your Spirit. And we pray this morning, Lord, that our hearts would be receptive and not resistive. Help us, Lord, to be willing. Help us, Father, to surrender ourselves to you and let you have your way with us, so that, Father, even as we look at your word, it will be life-giving, it will be truth, it will be more than a blessing, it'll be corrective if needs be, and certainly challenging. And help us, Father, to draw our strength from you and not from the world. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I've learned that, I think I'm learning that what I think I would like is for God to make things easier for me. And it might be even better if God would just, you know, whisper in my ear what I needed for today. And then I would do exactly what God tells me to do. Right? Well, listen. God rarely works that way when it comes to His plan, my plan. Can you imagine how many things you can do without God? Imagine how much you can do without the Lord. Then, of course, there are those people who are constantly looking for this open door or that closed door. God, please open the door. God, please close this door. Or sometimes some of us look for impressions. We have an impression from God that maybe we should do or not do a particular thing. Or maybe some of you have laid out a fleece. And remember the story of Gideon. You laid out your fleece and you said, God, if you do this, then I'll know it's your direction and so forth. So at the outset, I want to say with you, please agree with me, first of all, that it's very important that this matter of God's plan, my plan, be a concern to my heart. So much so that I know that God does not take guidance lightly. So, as one man said it, God seems to have a delightful way of upsetting the plans we have made when we have not taken Him into account. We get ourselves into circumstances that are not chosen by God, and suddenly we realize that we've been making plans without Him, that we have not even considered God in our plans. The only thing that will keep us from even the possibility of worrying is to bring God into our planning. I don't know what your ideas are for the week, but I'm sure you've got some ideas for the week. But here's on an item on common sense. See, we plan and figure and predict that this or that will happen, but we forget to make room for God to come in as He chooses. Somebody said it's easier to serve God without a vision, easier to work for God without a call, because then we're not bothered by what God requires. Common sense is your guide. Veneered over with Christian sentiment, but if you receive a commission from Jesus Christ, the memory of what God wants will always come as a goad, and you will no longer be able to work for Him on a common sense basis. Now, would you follow with me at Romans chapter 15 and look with me at the 20th verse here. I want you to follow with me and see what's going on, if you would please, what's going on with Paul and with God's plans and Paul's plans. You ready? Look at 15:20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ is named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written in Isaiah 52:15, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard will understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So if you'll allow me this morning, a couple things I want to share with you out of the passage. It's always a good idea to see what does the Bible say. I have to admit to you that I oftentimes have listened to preachers who preach a sermon and then they're going to add the Bible to their sermon. As you can see, it's a whole lot better to get you to see what does it say and then to deliver something that has something in light to say in light of what it says in the Scripture. So what is God's plan? I ask this question because Paul says this, I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ is named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, and he found this passage in Isaiah, to whom he was not spoken of they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Listen to Jesus on this matter, if you would please. Because it's so simple when we think about it. There are large aspects of God's plan that we don't really understand and we don't really know. But it's a good idea to think about the big things that God is accomplishing. And that actually, God's big plan should come ahead of everything else. Well, Paul was pretty sure that he knew God's plan was for him to get the gospel to places where people never heard about Jesus. You see that? That was Paul's plan in light of the big plan of God in his life. But you see, there are plenty of places in our planet right now where people have never heard the name of Jesus. And if Paul was living today, what would he do? He would want to go just to those places where people hadn't heard about Jesus. So I want you to listen to this particular passage from Isaiah 52. To whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. So Paul took that as his meaning for his life, a plan for his life. Listen to Jesus on this. He says this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what Jesus said. Seek first. In Matthew chapter 16, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Can you see with me that this is a bigger issue than whether or not you should buy this pair of shoes or go on this particular trip or buy this particular car? He also says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second, it's like it. You love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus also added these words: go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Now, would you just agree with me that taking up your cross, following Jesus, is definitely a part of God's plan for your life? Would you agree with me that this is a big idea, that we are responsible to love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul? Would you agree with me that to go and get the gospel message, that that's a big idea? That's a big thing in God's realm of what he would have you to be or to do. So I'm thinking about when somebody came to me with the good news. Why did that particular man want to sit down and open up the Bible and tell me the good news? Well, I'm not saying that I knew everything about what happened in that particular person's life, but I doubt if he said when he woke up in the morning, when I go to the movie theater that day, I'm going to look for a little short guy with glasses and a mustache, because I did have a mustache when I was a little boy too. You all knew that. And say that I am going to give this boy the gospel and he's going to be saved today, Lord. No. I think he woke up in the morning and said, Lord, I'm willing to let you have your plan for the day. And if there is this opportunity to talk to somebody about the good news, I'm going to take it, Lord. See, when we think about the work of God, you have to remember there's a big plan. And the big plan goes back to the cross. The big plan goes back to the cross of Christ. The big plan is something that we have an idea about. And this idea, of course, when Jesus says these words, is that in order for a person to have a personal relationship with the Father, they need to come through the Son. There's no other way. There's no other religion. There's no other plan. There's no other process. There's no other salvation. There's no other Savior. There's only one way. But that's pretty big, to say the least. So when it comes to God's plan, it may be a good idea for us to have it clear in our own hearts that we are here saved so that somebody else can hear the good news through us. You see, we are here in this world to accomplish his will. You with me, please, on his plan? His plan should certainly come ahead of our plan. He created you. He made you with your talents, your unique, your abilities, your personality, your life skills. Everything that you are is part of his plan. It's amazing when you stop to think about it. No one is a self-made creature. And everybody is perfectly unique in and of themselves. And someone sent you the gospel, just like somebody sent me the gospel. And that day, I rested in Christ, and I believed the gospel. So, folks, all of that with respect to the gospel is part and parcel of God's big plan. So I want you to realize that part of your life is that God's already at work in you, whoever you are, whatever you are, the way you are in your person. You see, also, God's kingdom is first. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. So first and foremost, when I ask the question, of course, what about God's plan? You see, he created you. He made you with talents and abilities, personality, life skills. He chose for you. Nobody is self-made. And he laid down his life. He laid down in your life the things that make you what you are. He sent them He sent someone to the gospel with you, and you are now His for eternity. Can you see with me that this is part of the plan of Almighty God? Second thing I want you to think with me, of course, is my plans. You must have plans for the week. You must have plans for today. Here's what the scripture says in verse number 20. Paul says, I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ is named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause I have also been much hindered from coming to you. Now, as I look at the passage, I think to myself, Paul's life goal, if you will, was to get the gospel to those who never heard about Jesus. That's what the Apostle Paul did. That was his life work. Wherever he went, his goal was to communicate the message of the gospel. It was certainly the most important thing in his life. But look with me at this line here. Paul says, in regards to his own plan, that often, because it says much, many hindrances. A hindrance, of course, is just simply an obstacle. So he was making a plan to come to Rome, but he was hindered many, many times in coming to Rome. And his main purpose being, of course, to get the gospel out to people. You see, this word hindered is something that probably you're very, very familiar with, because every single day of your life, you have obstacles. Haven't you noticed that every day you have obstacles that you need to deal with every single day of your life? It's a roadblock, actually. How many times throughout the day have you been hindered from doing a particular thing that you wanted to get accomplished? Listen, we're all hindered. Everybody here is hindered by things every single day of our lives. And you make a plan, and you're prevented from accomplishing your plan for the day. For all sorts of reasons, of course, but every day of your life, there are things that hinder you from getting done what you would like to get done. And I'm thinking that probably it's much more wise for us to realize that our lives are really a tremendous journey in persistence. You have a particular a plan for the day, and you come into a problem or an obstacle or a person or something that interrupts whatever it is that you're... And when your plans don't come to fruition, listen, folks, it is not a sign from God that you can become anxious, irritable, or a complainer. That's not the reason why God allows hindrances. I suppose some of you can, like me, identify with the luxury of anxiety, irritability, and complaining. But that's not because God hindered or allowed a hindrance to come into our lives. One person says it like this. Sometimes God has to shake our world to see the perfect plan He has for us. We have a choice to question God, to become bitter and possibly resent what God has taken away, or praise Him through this storm and open your life to be led. There's a personal story here. I sat there feeling numb, fighting back tears, feeling as if my whole world was ripped right out from underneath me. The past 7 years I worked for this company, working my way up to the management team, it was gone. My job was gone just in a matter of seconds. What was being said was irrelevant. I was considered a good worker, a great friend. How they didn't have a choice and so forth. My mind went to my daughters. I was a single mom, no financial support. How was I going to get through this? After I left, tears fell effortlessly, shaking beyond emotional. I questioned God. I didn't understand, why did God allow this to happen? Why did God hinder me in allowing this? Friday was the end of the world for me. Saturday, I felt hollow as I read text messages from my coworkers saying how sad they were to see me go, but wishing me the best. Sunday, I was starting to feel relieved. Yes, relieved, because I didn't have to go to work the next day. You see, my plan was my plan. And sometimes God hinders my plan. And It's a wonderful thing when you stop to think about it, folks, that if God interrupts your life, be glad that He's the Creator, He's the Savior, He's the Sustainer, and He is the one that runs your life ultimately. You see, sometimes God does mess up your life. And I'm thinking about this very seriously, folks. When you have plans in your life and God interrupts, think with me, please, about the Bible. Did God mess up any of Moses' plans? Did you know Moses was absolutely, totally convinced that he was unable to speak, and he became the leader of the nation of Israel to bring them out of Egypt? Did you ever think about Abraham? Did you know Abraham had his plans and God interrupted him? Do you remember the story of Job? Did you know Job had such tremendous interruptions and hindrances in his life? How could it possibly be? Listen, folks. Please listen. Whether you're Abraham or Moses or David or Jonah or the Apostle Paul, you must be grateful that God allows hindrances, because that's the way we learn to do the next thing. And that is, when your plan doesn't work out, make a new one. Let me show you this. Look at verse number 23. But now, having no more place in these parts, having a great desire these many years to come to you, whensoever I take my journey to Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. I want you to think with me a little bit about the key word in the earlier verse was hinder. The key verse here, according to the Apostle Paul, is trust. Listen, folks, many times in your life, you have wondered, I did not want this to happen. Listen, folks, do you think that I wanted this to happen to not let you see that beautiful video today? So I was hindered. Now, do I get to be anxious? Do I get the luxury of being upset? Do I get irritable or frustrated because God didn't allow that to happen? I guess I could, but I'm not going to. I want you to realize, folks, each single situation that you have to deal with, when there is a hindrance or an obstacle that comes into your life, would you realize it, that that's the key to learning how to trust God? Listen, folks, if everything was smooth, if everything went the way you wanted, if all your plans were perfectly worked out, you'd certainly pat yourself on the back, but you wouldn't trust in God. But when things don't work out, that is your key for you to open up your heart to God and say, I am going to trust you, Lord, that you know best. Well, folks, think about it. What has happened this past week in your life that you didn't like, or that interrupted your day, or that hindered you from accomplishing a particular thing? When that happened, was your next thought, Lord, I'm going to trust you? You see what's going on with the Apostle Paul here? He changes his... If the plan doesn't work, you can change the plan. Nobody says you can't change the plan. There's no verse in the Bible that says if this doesn't work, just, you know, you got to stick with it anyway. No, we don't even live like that any time in our lives. We realize, though, the power of learning to lean upon God. How big is this matter of trusting God when it comes to the big plan, or when it comes to the daily life of the Christian? Listen to these words of Jesus. Listen closely. This is Jesus' work. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, your body, what you're going to put on. Isn't your life more than food and your body more than clothing? The fowls of the air, look at them. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you better than they are? And why take ye thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, or what we're going to drink. Whither shall we be clothed? Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. For those of you who don't know, having read your Bible, this old English line, take no thought, means don't be anxious and don't worry. Now listen, whatever's come into your life as of late, did you decide it was good for you to worry? Good for you to be anxious? Listen, folks. This is the one person in the history of the world who knows how to handle your life. If you're handling your life and you're not letting Him handle your life, and you get all these hindrances, you're going to worry. Instead of learning how to trust God, you're going to worry. You are predicting your worry if you live that way. But when the plan doesn't work, and you have to change your plan, just like the Apostle Paul, he says he trusted that God would work a different way. I just want you to think about how marvelous it is, folks. Every day, God has control over your life. Does He have control over your heart? See, every day God's got, He's in charge. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He knows what's going on in my life. And if He allows particular things to come into my life that I don't like, my question will always be the same. Am I resting in a trustworthy person who is my Savior and my Lord? Am I trusting in Him? You see, every circumstance in which you choose to trust God is actually a step in your life of learning how to walk with God. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what the area of your life is that God wants you to know, that you do not have to worry, whether it's what you eat, whether it's what you drink, whether it's what you wear. It doesn't matter. All of that, God says, don't worry about any of that. You see how big this really is, folks. So what's God's plan? It's a whole lot bigger than you and me. It's okay to make plans. When they don't work out, make a new plan. But then Paul says this in verse number 25. He says, all I'm doing is carrying out ministry. Look at verse 25. But now I go to the Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Paul was on his way to Jerusalem because somebody gave him some bags of money. He put them on his saddle or on his horse or wherever, and he was on his way to Jerusalem to take money to some people. Listen, folks, a minister is a servant. If you realize and recognize that your life is really just simply a life of service to other people, you'll see that it's God's serving other people by using you. You see, your life is really a journey of persistence. I admit that. But you are also in the ministry. There are other people whose life is being benefited by your life, because you are a minister. I would think that probably the best thing we could possibly do with our lives is to pray a simple prayer and say to God, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Whatever your plans are for this week, I'll guarantee you that God is going to allow some interruptions and some hindrances to come your way. And when that happens, there is no reason why you need to just do anything except look in trust to your Heavenly Father. You know, when you're a child, when something doesn't go right, you may complain, you may be upset, but you'll know that you can go back to your mom and dad, and you know that you just need to have that relationship secure. When things don't work out, I remember a time when I had a little difficulty. Might have told you this story before, but I ended up in a little fight and I broke my elbow. Now listen, folks, it was probably all my fault, but do I look back on it, say, and thinking about how, what a bratty little kid I was, that it was my fault that I got into a fight with a kid and then I broke my elbow? No, I broke my elbow, I remember that, but I remember being able to go to my mom My mom took me to the hospital. I remember the doctor taking an x-ray, wrapping up the stuff all over my arm, and my arm got repaired. What do you think about the things that have happened in your life in days gone by? When you are a child, you're just going to let mom and dad take care of it. What's going on right now? You have your father who knows everything. And listen, folks, he can take care of everything. The best thing you can possibly do is to pray a simple prayer and say to God, every single situation, I delight to do thy will, oh my God. You see, his plan, my plan. God knows perfectly what's going on in your life. He even says this, I'm working everything together for good. That's what he says. So you may not be able to fully understand, and maybe it won't be until you get to glory, why or how this is all working together for good, but God said he's working it together for good. So I'm going to predict that this week, that either you're going to say, I delight to do thy will, when you get an interruption and a hindrance, or you're going to say, I am mad. I'm really mad. Or whatever. You have a choice. You're going to be hindered. You're going to get an obstacle. There's going to be a roadblock. The question is going to be, are you going to trust God with that problem? Father, I thank you that your word is true. Thank you for Paul's example, Lord. Thank you for these words to remind us, Father, that you're in charge. It is not us that's in charge, but you, Lord. Help us to have a greater confidence in you today, Lord, than we've ever had before. And the problems that come our way today or this week, Lord, help us to be among those who say, I delight to do thy will, Lord. I'm going to change the plan, but I'm going to trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.